Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are we doing a succession chat first?
Ooh, should we?
Like for about 10, 15 minutes, and then we can do a mystery?
Yeah, let's round up this show. Yeah. Let's round up Succession.
Are we going to explain why we're doing it? Because it, like, here's, and it's not a concern because I think we should do it because we talk about Succession anyway. But like, say you're a Mystery on the Rocks listener who doesn't, not on the Patreon, so doesn't listen to all the bonus stuff where we're talking about Succession, and basically only listens to a new episode when it drops on their feed. All of a sudden, why are we doing a Succession episode?
How do we explain it? We intro it. We just go, and welcome, Mystery Succession on the Rocks, where we just name that episode Succession on the Rocks.
Yeah, just say we all love Succession and the last episode dropped this week.
And welcome to the one and only episode of Succession on the Rocks, the show that takes Mystery on the Rocks, throws it out the window for one tiny bit, and talks about Succession, the big fucking show that literally everyone is watching. And if you're not watching it, that's fine. Watch it. we're taking, this is just a short stopgap. If you're a usual Mystery on the Rocks listener, hey, bully for you. You get Succession time. If you're not, go and listen to Mystery on the Rocks, a usual show where we take unsolved true mysteries and cocktails, put them together for your pleasure. But for now, let me introduce the fantastic Suze Kempner. The amazing Chris Stokes.
He playing.
I'm Masood. Ooh, fuck off.
Family therapy. Can we call this family therapy?
Family therapy, yeah. Maybe regular listeners have gleaned the fact that the three of us fucking love Succession and talk about it at any given opportunity. But the problem is that as it's just ended forever and recently ended forever, we have to get this out of our system. Otherwise, we'll never be able to get an episode done.
No, this is true. This is true. We just have to do it.
So it's not like this isn't replacing week's episode. This is a little extra.
If anything, this should give you a, if you're not a regular listener or have just heard of the podcast, this should give you like a incentive to go and get the extra stuff. Because this is just for free. We're just giving this to you.
We decided that like having got bored of ripping off Wine and Crime, we thought we'd rip off Firecrotch and Normcore as well.
Yes, I have to say, if you are a Succession fan and you're like, oh good, Mystery on the Rocks are doing a little roundup of Succession now that it's finally over, I highly recommend Sarah Baron and Jeff Lloyd's podcast Firecrotch and Normcore. It is, in my eyes, the best Succession podcast.
They have cast and crew on it, don't they, as well? So
they do. They interview Jesse Armstrong this week. Amazing. They've done a two part interview with him.
They've had Stewie on. They've had
for real.
They had Carl and Frank.
Yeah.
What?
Willa as well.
Yeah.
They had
Alexander Skarsgård, who was amazing. I think he's brilliant anyway, and I think he was brilliant as Mattson. I think he's amazing in Big Little Lies. I don't know if you've seen that.
He plays Nicole Kidman's husband in it, and
he's amazing in that. But he interviewed, he was so funny. They said to him, do you watch the episodes? Do you like to sit down and watch it? And he just said, like, dry as anything. He went, yeah, I only watch the episodes that I'm in, and I watch them in the bath, and I watch them with the sound off. And he went on to say, like, he masturbates to himself in Succession. But it was so funny. I was just like, oh, he's brilliant. He's so funny. I really liked him. He seems like a lovely man. Yeah.
Then you find out that he meant it. And then all of a sudden,
and part of you was
so
like,
funny.
Reframed, yeah.
And he delivered it just so dry. But you can tell he's funny in the show, obviously.
Yes.
He does something with that character that maybe isn't on the page. I love him.
Yeah.
I think he's
amazing. So the finale just happened, and it's such a fucking wild ride. As I was watching it, I was thinking about everything that happened in the show, both the big tentpole points, as well as just generally, I kind of got obsessed with the businessy part of it too, which was weird. Like, I quite like some of the dealy parts of it. So, like, when in the last episode, Kendall mentions Volter,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that guy. And I went and watched a clip of that guy again. I was like, oh, that fucking guy who screwed him over. And or even when other characters pop up that have only been introduced in recent seasons, like Peter. I fucking love Peter.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's such a dipshit. But a great, like, I love his character. Yeah, and it just sort of made me think back to, like, just the whole fucking thing of the show. And obviously, as a finale itself, it's somehow, like, here's the thing I found about it, right? Is that, like, I did kind of want them to win. But then...
Yes.
I knew they were going to lose. Like, as soon as they walked into the boardroom at the end, I was like, oh, no, they're going to lose. Of course they're going to lose. Because they're fucking idiots.
They always do this. Unfortunately, I've seen this show.
Yes.
So when they are in their kitchen, and I was ugly crying and laughing at them getting on together so beautifully, and you
meal
get
a fit
glimpse
for a king.
Of
king.
Meal fit
for a king. And I was like, oh fuck, man. But unfortunately, we've been here before, and it always falls apart. And I knew that's how they're going to end the show. And also, with Tom becoming CEO at the end, it was so inevitable. That's the obvious thing that would happen if this was a real business. Yeah, Lucas Mattsson wants a puppet. There, he's got one. It's Tom. Obviously, it was going
to
be him.
Earlier on in the show, Tom was willing to go to jail for the for the business. And it's like, I'm not going to say selfless, but if he's willing to go to prison for it, then he's exactly who Mattsson wants and needs.
Yeah.
100%.
I think that's why Mattsson said to him, hi, I want to fuck Shiv, and I think she would like to fuck me too. So would you be CEO? And Tom's just like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he just like
you shit-eating little weasel.
Yeah, he's such a...
And when they were all shaking hands and celebrating the deal, and I was like, fuck me, man, this is pathetic.
Yes. Oh, it's
Roman is dead right. It's bullshit and it's nothing. And it's, what does he say? It's broken shows and bullshit news and bits of paper and glue and...
It's
it made me go
nothing.
Like, I hate you. I hate you, capitalism. I hate you with the fire of a thousand suns.
It's funny because, like, so Will McKay, who is an executive producer, is like big into essentially what all of Succession is like kind of slightly exposing this like bullshitty side of capitalism.
Adam McKay.
Will Ferrell, not Adam. Yeah, Will Ferrell.
Yes,
I just put them together.
I love that Will Ferrell produces this show.
Adam McKay, sorry. Yes. Because you've seen it in like The Other Guys, which is like weirdly at the end, it's like, oh, it's corporate fucking... What?
Don't Look Up as well.
Yes, yeah.
Yep.
And Big Short, obviously.
Yep. Big Short, obviously.
Big obvious one. And so it's
with
like,
Jeremy Strong.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah. As a gum-chewing, just fucking super confident prick.
He's very good, isn't he?
He's really good.
I don't think it's been said that Jeremy Strong's a good actor before.
Sarah and I joked about that.
He's brilliant.
And Sarah goes like, yeah, he was great. The Happening? I was like, he's been in some absolute dog shit, though. But
everyone's been in some absolute dog shit.
That's true.
It's not
Samuel
like,
Jackson is the king of that. He's been in some total dross.
Samuel L. Jackson, literally, wasn't he 40 when he was in... his first film was... first big film was Jungle Fever, I think.
Oh yeah,
he was in
TV commercials and stuff, and like two of them. Mm-hmm. He was in like two commercials, and he like basically.
Oh yeah, he really struggled. He had like real addiction issues. But I think Spike Lee really looked out for him.
Yeah.
He is in Jungle Fever, isn't he?
Yes, I think
Samuel
he is.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah. But the year before Jungle Fever, of course, he's in Goodfellas. And he has, what, three lines?
Oh, if that?
Yeah. Yeah, I always forget he's in it as well whenever I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah, same. I always forget he's in Jurassic Park.
Yes, that's right. As Mr. Arnold.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Arnold.
Please. God damn, I hate this hack of crap.
Please. Oh, it's so good, Jurassic Park. My mum came home this last week. My mum came home and went, do you know what I fancy watching? Jurassic Park. So amazing. We put it on and, oh, God, it's so fucking good.
I tell you what I find very funny is that when we're trying to do a mystery or anything, we can't stop talking about Succession. We decide to lay over an episode entire to Succession.
And then start talking about Jurassic Park.
quick, back to Succession. Okay, Question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find yourself wondering what's going to happen to these characters now?
Short answer, yes.
Yes.
Long answer, I think that's why it's a great ending, because it didn't... It was obviously an ending. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like, okay, the show has ended, but at the same time, it's like, well, the world is turning still there. And but so much of it as well, because it was such an intricate show. I don't just want to know what happens to Tom and Shiv, and I don't just want to know what happens to Kendall now and Roman. I want to know, did Mencken's victory get overturned?
All
of this stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What the fuck are Frank and Carl doing? And what the fuck are... Yeah. Or Stewie. Stewie
like
was the one character...
Jerry's autobiography and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah, it's... Hugo. Mm-hmm. That piece of shit.
Was it... Tom goes, what are you going to do with Carl and Frank? Someone goes, what are you going to do with Carl and Frank? And Tom goes, oh, I don't want those two cunts.
Oh, yeah, those two old cunts over my shoulder.
Those two old cunts on my shoulder. Yeah. So when Hugo comes over to him, he's going, I always thought it would be you. He's like, huh, where's Carolina? And he's like,
oh, yeah. It's so good. Oh, man. Hugo. What do you think? A golden parachute? Yeah. One more rodeo? Fuck off, you two fucking...
Oh, God. And that idea, I was furious when they were like, oh, when they said, what do you think? Should we slit his throat in the board? I was like, oh, you fucking assholes. I hate capitalism. I hate it. This is pathetic. And it made me go, like, Kendall will never realize how lucky he is that he didn't get to be CEO of this bullshit. And but he will never realize. So that made me so sad. He'll never realize that the best thing for him did happen.
It's interesting, yeah, because like it feels like, so there's two things I'm going to say here. One is like Logan was almost sort of like he was like the worst version of every other person that would treat them terribly in this whole business world, right? Mm-hmm. And that still didn't prepare them for it. And that's why he's like, no, fuck off. You can't because you can't handle me and I'm your father. And you still
he made
can.
Sure they couldn't handle him, yeah.
And then in a twisted way of love to protect them. And the second thing was, what was it? Oh, yeah, when Tom initially pitches himself as the CEO, and I think it's Carl who's like, well, you know, everyone's going to say, who the fuck is this guy? We don't fucking know. It says, no, you don't have any experience. You're a fucking idiot. There's no way. Just quite love that nice little...
Well, yeah, he read him to fuck, and Tom has never forgotten it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And now he's CEO.
Under Manson, though, so it's like, does he...
Yeah.
Yeah, does he get that? That's How much power will he actually have? Will he push back against Matson? Oh, will Matson fuck Shiv and then screw that whole thing up or whatever?
I think Shiv will end up having an affair with Matson out of spite. Like, she in many ways is the most fucked up sibling in all of this because she's still in there. She's still in there going, I could still do this.
Not just that as well. Maybe from childhood, because a lot is made about how Roman was hit and...
and a dog in a cage at one point? I seem to remember that.
And Kendall.
Yes.
So
that's very interesting.
Yeah, so that they've spoken about that, and they've spoken about, obviously, Kendall is been like, he was supposedly like groomed for power from Seven, but like Shiv kind of being neglected because she's a girl, like for the whole almost for the whole of her life. Now she's an adult, and it kind of has that's probably why she's turned out to be sort of like, on the surface at least, passionate about social issues. When push comes to shove, doesn't care. And
yeah, doesn't care, doesn't give a fuck.
It's one of my favorite moments when she's with Jerry and she's like, oh, you know, it's like women together. And I'm like, you're so full of shit. You're so full of shit, Shiv. You don't fucking care, because this is a fucking angle. And as soon as you get your little fucking thing in there, you could pry that open. Oof.
And, and is probably clearly easily the most naive of the three of them. Because like, when because Mattson never once said about her being CEO.
No, she kept saying it. Yeah.
And you got the feeling that, if, let's say, the play sort of like, you know, ball under a cup and move the siblings around. If Kendall was in that position, he wouldn't have fallen for it.
No way.
And Kendall, when she turns to him in the boardroom, in that room through a glass wall, and they're just watching children fight while they're trying to do the vote. Like, she says to him, I don't think you'd be good at the job. And I don't think that's true. And I don't think she believes that's true either. I think she knows he would be good at it, because he keeps delivering every time. Like, he absolutely nailed that Living Plus.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
Talk. It was amazing.
I'm not going to favor
it. Horseshit.
Oh, it was fucking ridiculous.
I mean, but against all odds, and with everyone going like, oh no, he's about to fuck the entire company.
But it also wasn't his product.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's the other thing.
He found a way to sell something that wasn't, with complete horseshit. And, you know, but in the context of, he made the numbers go up with his, with his presentation. The others couldn't have done that. Shiv couldn't have done that. Roman couldn't have done it. Roman physically couldn't go on and talk. So and it was so funny, because on the lead up to it, he was like, "Oh, we're going to have flight jackets, you know, like co-pilots." And I was like, "I'm dying, of cringe." And then when he goes on in the flight jacket, it turns out you barely even notice it. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it just didn't matter.
I do love when Carl confronts him in that hallway. And he's like, "So, don't make me look like an idiot out there." And he's like, "Well," he's like, "No, listen, I know a thing or two about a thing or two, buddy." And he's like, really nice, but he's like, "Don't fuck me, or I will put you through the ringer." And you're like, Carl's a dog, man. They're all fucking out for blood.
Absolutely. He revolutionized cable in the 80s.
But it's a power shift, because they were nowhere, they were nothing like that when Logan was around.
Absolutely.
Nope.
Absolutely. Like spineless little belly showing pug dogs.
Oh yeah. Bore on the floor. Yeah. Bore on the floor.
Yeah.
Oh God. I
beg for your sausages. Oink for your sausages.
So if we're looking back at the whole show, what's your favorite moment? Because this is obviously, because it's just finished, we're very finale heavy at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's everyone's favorite. I mean, I actually love the conversation that Roman and Logan have after the dick pic. I think one of my favorite lines in the show, my favorite lines in the whole show is, he goes, "Well, it's like, so why do you send it?" It's like, "Well, you know, it's just like a picture of your dick. You just like send it." "Well, like a fuck you?" It just completely solidifies who each of them are.
Yeah, especially as Logan's like, "She's a million years old." And it's like,
he's banging Kerry. Oh my God. Kerry, who, my theory about Kerry is that she's like full Nazi.
Oh yeah.
I think she's a full Nazi. Nazi.
Oh, I guess maybe number two would have to be when Hugo and, I've forgotten her name, I know the actor's name, Dagmar something, who plays
I can't remember your name.
They're watching Carrie's fucking news audition.
They're laughing at it.
And then they're like, "Well, why can't you?" "Well, my computer's not." It's like, "Oh no, just put it on." Like, as you can see, and he quickly clicks the window shut.
Yeah, you just see, yeah. But it's so interesting, isn't it? Because Logan doesn't chew him out. He just finds a way of getting Tom to tell Kerry she's not going to be.
Oh, man.
And, he can tell she sucks at it.
And then Tom gets fucking Greg to do it. Because Tom is a spineless piece of shit.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry, I took two moments, but
there are plenty in the show. It was almost like a cruel, dumb question to ask.
What's yours?
Mine, weirdly, even though there are so many to choose from, I know exactly what mine is. I don't have to think about it. Mm. And it's when the FBI come in and Tom's voice quivers when he's explaining to everybody that there he goes. So if you see any agents around, that's what that is.
Really holding on to maintain power.
I love it so much. I love it so much.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's season two, isn't it? Or season three? Season two.
Season two.
It's season three.
It's early season three. Very early. Because I guess everyone's head of season three is right at the wedding when they have the big fucking showdown. But actually, the top half of it is.
Actually, because there are... Yeah, there's so many sort of like slow chess moves throughout the show that it's kind of hard to pinpoint. Because it hangs off the big moments, like Kendall's press conference or the waiter dying or the wedding at the end of season three.
Mm.
And then Logan's death, obviously, in the funeral and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird because those four or so, or no, pretty much that entire season after he dies, the rest of the season, is over the span of like maybe under a week.
It's sort of day by day. Yeah, Brian Cook said that it was meant to be sort of like... Or like a week, yeah.
Yeah, which is nuts. Like, because the rest of the show obviously doesn't, time-wise, doesn't do that.
Mm-mm.
And it's so, it's like a, I don't know, there's like another level of intensity of like how quickly that actually happens.
It helps the build-up.
Yeah.
Because this is the other thing as well. It definitely felt like it was building to the end, and then it definitely felt like the end.
Yes.
Very satisfying finale in a lot of ways, because... Like, just the other thing as well about the show, because we're all talking about the characters and everything, but like it's almost sorcery how well it sticks together, and it's storytelling on a level that I don't think TV has seen in years, and probably won't again for a really long time.
It's genius.
I agree. Yeah, it's very close to kind of, I guess, like golden era TV back in the early HBO days. Where everyone's like, what? And it seemed to push this thing where we're like, fuck, that's how you do it.
So I came to Succession after you two.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when, like, I first heard about it, it felt like too small a show for the cast it had. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because I actually think that, and I don't mean like Brian Cox, because people like Brian Cox will come and do the lead Super role Troopers. In a TV show all the fucking time.
Yeah.
But Matthew McFadden, whose trajectory was quite significant at the time anyway, to take a supporting role in it, that made you... it must be good. And
that guy was Mr. Darcy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like 18 years ago, the guy's still doing...
Yeah.
Like really... And like apparently phenomenal on stage as well.
Yeah.
I can imagine. So, oh, that I'd love to see. I'd love to see him on stage.
A lot of them are very, a lot of the cast are very, very accomplished theatre actors, and I think it shows because quite a lot of Succession was that, because they say like, oh no, we never do two takes the same way, and a lot of stuff is filmed
a lot.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is filmed with multiple cameras, so they can do very long takes. And
And they are encouraged to improvise in character, aren't they, as well?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They're like a slime puppy was an improvisation.
Ah, oh, that's one of my favourite lines.
She improvised that on the spot. That's yeah, so that's Jay Smith Cameron improvised slime puppy. So, but I think it really comes across in how they're able to deliver really complex dialogue as if it's how people speak, because no one actually speaks like the characters in Succession.
Yeah.
No, but it feels, there's something about it feels like people talking.
It feels so natural.
It's, it does that in like little ways all the way through, where it's like, it's very obviously not reality. Like the pandemic didn't happen. And
that's right. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like, that's very clever of them to do that. And the other thing as well is that it's very obviously a Murdoch allegory, but it's not Murdoch. So
yes,
do you know what I mean? As soon, and that just washes over you very quickly, and then you can just immerse yourself in the show. So
completely,
and that goes along with people aren't that quick witted in real life, or
no, it's a no. Yeah. It's what about you, Suze? What's your favorite moment in the show?
Oh, I mean, this isn't a funny moment, but I've never been so affected by something by a TV show as I was with the season 3 finale.
Oh, when he touches his shoulder.
Whole scene where Kendall finally tells someone about he unburdens himself and says, I killed a kid, and tells them what he did. And his siblings, who he's just constantly, they're all at war with each other constantly. And Kendall's pretty much been estranged from the family for much of that season, because that's the way Logan's raised them, to just constantly be at war with each other. Mm. And they all come together, and basically he finds out he's not a murderer via his siblings. Yeah. And in the final moments of that season, he's never looked stronger because he got his family back. Yeah, his father's made sure that they're all cut out from the business, basically.
Yeah.
Their father does something which he does something which they finally can't forgive him for, and I don't think they ever would have done.
No.
Had he lived. And yet Kendall looks very strong, and I find it really moving, and I find it really weird when people go, oh, I don't care about any of these characters. Mm. They're all horrible. That's so reductive, because, and that thing where people go, oh, hopefully their billions will dry their tears.
It's never been about raised, the money, that show.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't. And if you're raised with no emotional nourishment, for want of a better word, like they were all raised in an abusive, emotionally neglectful, and like physically abusive upbringing, with a cold mother who you can't even say, well, she did her best. She's so allergic to confrontation that
and actually
she'll needle at them
wanting kids.
Yeah, exactly. I should have had dogs. So when people say, oh, hopefully their billions will keep them happy, it's as silly as saying someone who was born in poverty but their parents really love them, go, well, who cares that they're born in poverty? Their parents were great to them.
I think
I know what you mean. It's that same
also
kind of,
it's kind of misses the point of art completely to say
yes
that. And it's like, oh well, you know, I can't care about any of these characters. It's something people say about how other collective favourite show, Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, well, you've closed yourself off to so much fucking good stuff.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, are you watching this as if they're real people? Because, do you know what? If this was real. Like, how do you feel about the Murdochs? Guarantee that it's not the same way as you feel about Kendall and Shiv.
Mm-mm. No.
And it's because it's fiction and it's a fucking story. And
I also think
like, it draws you in.
If you feel that way about characters on TV, maybe TV isn't for you. You know, like right? Maybe you shouldn't.
Or maybe you want to watch a nice, simple show where everyone's just nice to each other all the time.
It's so like... as you were saying that about the neglect and the different forms of abuse, it's like they seem to be not in a, again, I don't want to reduce it to this, but it's like it's very clear how each of them are emotionally stunted in a very distinctive, unique way, and how each of them. So, like Connor, for example, who I can't. I mean, I always love when Alan Ruck is on screen. He's so amazing.
Yes.
Oh my god,
he is.
Did you ever watch Spin City?
I did. He was one of my favorite characters. Yeah, he was great.
Easily my
favorite
character.
He played such a disgusting guy.
Yeah, it was great. And his whole thing of like he's the eldest and yet he's completely cut off from everything and not taken seriously at all. Mm-hmm. And that brilliant moment in season three when he's like, "I'm the eldest," and he's like,
which Kendall does in the finale.
Yes,
he says, "I'm the eldest boy," like a kid. He just starts bellowing, "I'm the eldest boy." He isn't. He isn't, and he ain't a boy. He's a man in his 40s.
There's a brilliant moment in season this last season when in the karaoke bar where he's like, "Oh, growing up without love, it's like a superpower. You know, you don't need it." It's like, what does he say? He's like, "I'm a creature that grows on the rocks and lives on insects that die inside of me. Yeah. I don't need love." And you're like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Bringing it up as well, that because that scene is going to be remembered as Logan saying to Roman, Shiv and Kendall, "You are not serious people." And that being the last thing he ever said to them. But that scene is as much Connor's as anyone else's because he kind of brings him there, doesn't he? He's the mediator between them.
He's the one that brings them all there, exactly.
Yeah.
And part of me, strangely, when we're watching the finale, went back to that scene in my head and was like, because he actually makes the offer of like, we need to say yes to this deal, to the Gojo deal. Mm-hmm. And he splits it up. He divides it between them. He's like, "You take fucking news." And he says it. He's like, "Roman, you take socials. You take news, Shiv, and fucking," I forget what he gives Kendall, but he's like, "That's what we'll do. We'll fucking divvy it up and it'll be fine." And obviously, they're like, "Well, we can't take him seriously because every single time he's promised us something, he's fucked us." So you think, "Oh, fuck, but maybe what if this time that was what he was giving them?" He was like, "No, actually, maybe we can do this." But then he says, "You're not serious people," and you go, "Nah, fuck it, he's fucking him." It doesn't matter. It's just so hard to call it. But I guess part of me wants to believe that, like, maybe he was actually considering that, offering that up to them. Because he knew he can't just fucking do it forever. He can't do it. As much as one of the things in season one where he goes, "I'm coming, I'm back, I'm staying." And you're like, fuck, he's going to stay up.
That first episode of season four, which is kind of like the first, because you know how the seasons of Succession would end on a humdinger, and then the first episode of the next season is like, okay, just feeling where we are now, and like blah blah blah, coming in. And then they always feel a little bit inconsequential as a result. But that one is Kendall walking, Logan walking around his flat at his birthday party, sulking that his kids aren't there.
Oh, you know, yeah.
So it's what you were saying, Masood, it isn't just a case of like maybe he's thinking, "I can't do it." He knows he can't do it forever. It's the same time he's like, does miss his kids. So
he does. When he asks everyone to roast him, he's like, he misses Roman because Roman would come with a fucking zinger and roast him. And he's like, you know, and then he would fucking get back at them. There's that moment in the last episode where they watch him at that dinner. And everybody's having a good time. And they start crying. I got a little emotional. Yeah. I was like, man, I don't think they've ever...
Oh, it was incredibly emotional.
Have they ever seen him like that? Or if they had, it was very few and far between?
They haven't. I mean, there's that bit where in the fourth episode of season four, when they're looking at one of the papers that's got him on the front, and they're like, "Have you ever seen him laugh like that?"
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I have no... I have empathy for all the characters, and I find it very hard to have anything for Logan as a character because I have my own reasons. Like I'm estranged from a father who was not dissimilar to Logan in a lot of ways, and so
the money was a big difference, though. the
big difference was Logan built a huge media
conglomerate
if my dad had said cash out and fuck off, I would have been left with about 40 quid. But I find myself pushing back when people say, oh, and when it comes down to it, Logan loved his kids. And I push back against it harder than I might do if I didn't have so much. I'm such a Kendall apologist.
I get that. But that's, no, I mean, I didn't say he loved them. I said he missed them. And
He missed them for twisted reasons.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Almost like he felt, it's like he's walking around with, you know, three fingers cut off. It's like, used to having them around and then they're not. Which is why he doesn't really apologize in that next episode. He tells them they're not serious people.
No.
He says, I'm sorry. Then he goes, nah, fuck you. And you're like, oh, okay, great. Yeah, yeah. You can't do
He's
it.
Got
you
nothing.
Can't. You can't. He can't just let it go and no. be.
Neither can their mum.
He's a piece of shit.
And
yes, but their mum is. It's because their mum is so like. And she can't even stand the thing of like confrontation, like you were saying, Suze. She's so avoidant that she's like,
Shout out
to Frozen Nobbies, though. I did enjoy that little detail in the final episode.
Frozen Nobbies. Oh, Peter and his Nobbies. He doesn't like his Nobbies. The Nobbies, the endy bits of the bread.
Oh, no, don't eat Peter's cheese. He's terribly boring about it. Don't touch me.
Harriet Walter.
It's just wonderful. That whole
brilliant scene.
Oh, she's magic. It's that first, first meet her at Tom and Shiv's wedding, and then Shiv goes up to her and goes, is it true that you are going around to people and saying, how long do you give them? How long do you think they'll last? And she's like, oh, darling, it's just a joke. It's a conversation starter. I'm trying to sparkle. My favourite moment with her is at her when they're in Italy for her wedding at the end of season 3, and she goes, she sees exactly what's going on with Logan and Kerry, which had obviously happened to her with this woman, Sally Ann, who we meet at the funeral.
Yeah. She actually calls her, doesn't she? She says she's my...
This is my Kerry.
But it's when she's at the funeral and she sees what's going at the wedding and sees what's going on with Kerry, and she goes, "I'm going to go around being very discreet."
Oh yeah,
it's so good. I can't do it. I can't do it as well as she did it because it was so perfect. She's just brilliant, Dame Harriet Walter.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's, oh, wow.
I mean,
love her.
What a cast. What a cast.
Unbelievable.
He's not a big name, but he is dependable whenever he shows up. Pip Torrance as her new husband. He's
he's wonderful.
He's incredible. Munion.
Yeah. Munion, waste of time.
Peter Munion.
Waste of time.
Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing.
Waste of time.
Complete waste of fucking time. It's so good.
You were so rude to Jonathan.
Peter's friend, Jonathan,
who, from what I can tell, was trying to pitch to them like some fucked up care home or something.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And they were like, oh, yeah, no, we'll see you later.
All basically walk out of him.
You were terribly rude to
to Jonathan. And I could talk forever about the finale and about the show in general, but when Shiv says, I love you, but I cannot stomach you. What she means is, I can't stomach watching you win.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's all Logan. That's the poison drips through. She cannot allow him to take what, because they're all so entitled. And she's like, I can't watch that happen. So she'll hand it to Tom. a man who she cannot trust. Because she more than any of them is doesn't trust anyone.
Yes.
Out of all the four kids.
It's interesting because she's so alone, as you said earlier about...
And she's the youngest, right?
Both in her naivety, but also in her trust, in her trustworthiness. Mm-hmm. Like, she's completely backed into a corner all of the time. And it's almost actually, it's not the worst, but it's one of the, like, kind of worst ends of that neglectful spectrum within that, of the things that they all experience. Mm. I feel like it's kind of at one of the ends where it's like, that's a terrifying place to be like, not only completely naive and completely helpless in a way, but not able to ask for help because you're like, someone's going to fuck me if I try to.
But also she has to, in her head, and because of the way Logan raised her, in her head, she thinks she has to be a boy. So she doesn't, so she's got this kind of like as much toxic masculinity as any of her siblings. And that is like, that's a very masculine male trait to not ask for help.
Yes, completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can tell that it's totally what she knows is the right thing to do. And Sarah Snook is really fucking good at this. Like, you can tell she knows what the right thing to do is and just can't do it. Cannot do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, I completely forgot the fucking fight that her and Tom have on the balcony. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. What is it Tom says? He goes like, I have showered you with nothing but admiration, but you are so broken inside. And you're like,
it's like,
what a way to fucking juice someone.
It's a hell of a scene, right?
Oh, unbelievable.
Oh, have you got the scene up? Because it's so...
I have given you endless approval and it doesn't fill you up because you're broken. Yeah.
Suze has to read it, otherwise she can't sleep.
I've showered you with endless approval, that's right. And the scorpion, you know, because it's funny because
You kill me and I kill you.
And she's kill you.
Scorpion in a block of resin. Fucking hell.
Oh, our wine is here. Screw top.
Oh, the fucking wine. The shitty wine.
Oh, I love how that comes back. He's like, just tell everybody, create scarcity. Just
it's
so good. Do you think that the... Because bearing in mind, we didn't know this was the final season of the show until just before it arrived.
The season.
Because there was every chance, you know, that it could have been like, we're about to watch the next season of Succession and just there could be another one. Like, do you know what I mean? It was like fairly late in the day, to my memory, that they said this was the last one. So do you think they ended it at the right time?
Yes. I think so. 100%. I think, and this is going off of Game of Thrones... I remember after Game of Thrones finished, there was like this weird rumor mill of people being like, Succession, that's the next one. That's the one that's going to be the fucking one. I just remember hearing it before it came out and I was like, okay, yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously HBO learning lessons from that from a blah, blah, blah production standpoint. But like, I think
different production team,
that was the thing with Game of Thrones is that like it's Game of Thrones did this weird thing in the last couple of seasons where its pace completely shifted.
Gotcha.
And went from being very slow and plodding to large events happening very, very quickly in very quick succession.
Oh, like the anti-Walking Dead.
Essentially, yeah. It just sped up. And I think that pissed off a lot of people. Where Succession, I think what was lovely about it is that the pacing is so consistent throughout. And even at the end, you're like, oh, that's kind of the end of the big arc, isn't it? The big arc is who's going to inherit the company? Oh, nobody. That's the story.
I'm glad you raised the point about the pace because I'd hesitate to call it slow, but I would call it casual. Like, I think it's just sort of, it takes its time because that's a mark of confidence. It knows what it is and it knows what it's doing. And it's also like one of those things where it's like the cast know that they've got fucking excellent writers. And the writers know that they've got a fucking excellent cast.
Yeah, beautiful cast. I think about the series finale of Succession forever. Like, on the, it will be something I come back and think about years later. And that, like, when I loved Breaking Bad and I loved Mad Men. For me, Mad Men's my favourite TV show ever until Succession finished the other day. The season finales of Breaking Bad and Mad Men, I don't think about. They were brilliant, but it was like, and then the show ended and I'll think about the show as a whole, but I never wonder what those characters go on to do. Yeah. Whereas Succession, I think about it so much. Yeah.
I think Succession's ending is one of the greatest. And I don't think I'm saying that because it's recent and is still hanging
over hyperbole.
Me. Like, the experience of watching Succession was as good as the show, if that makes sense. It was sort of like I knew the ending was coming, and it was like, it was building up to it. And I went into that finale going, this is the final episode of Succession. In an hour and a half, it will be done for good.
Yeah. Mm.
But I was still like, I know they're going to do this well. I had absolutely no nervousness about whether or not they'd pull it off. Because the show had not let me down and never dropped the ball. Mm. And in that respect, I actually think it's perfect. Like, recently, The Guardian, in a very pointless exercise, ranked all of the episodes. Mm. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Why would you do
that? You can't. Yes. It doesn't work. This isn't Friends.
Yes.
Like, it's not a thing with The Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. And also, Succession is literally just, it's one big story.
Yeah.
And it's embracing the medium of television to tell you that one big story in, like, a lengthy way.
In 40 hours or whatever.
And
39 episodes.
Yeah. Mm. But it's not one. With that in mind, it's basically like going to, what's your favourite act in Macbeth?
Exactly.
Act three is better. It's like, no, it doesn't work. You can't. So don't rank the episodes of Succession. And if you do that, you're going to find one that is a little less consequential than another one. But it doesn't mean it's not as good. And the only reason
that's funny, isn't it? It's like, what's the worst episode of Succession?
And the only reason that those episodes are consequential is literally because of these other episodes. Like, everything has its place and everything's working towards telling this long story.
It's a very lean, and I said 39 episodes, but it's a very lean story, and as you said, casual. It's like, it feels like that, like, even in its casual pacing, somehow so much happens.
I think it has the pace of a novel.
It's very it's like a very literary show in the same way that The Wire was.
I think that it might be why I responded to Succession so much as well, because it's one of the, because I came to it after you, like, literally two seasons had aired before I started watching it. Almost so that it lined up and I could go straight into season three when it aired.
It was just before season three, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think there was a gap a little bit.
We always do this. We always do this to Chris. We made him watch Always Sunny and he had to catch up on loads of Always Sunny.
But then I ended up lapping Masood. I didn't realise, because I thought Masood had seen it all as well, but he hadn't. With Succession, I was like, the pressure was immense because you two hadn't shut up about it. And like, every sort of like culture section of any newspaper that I read or whatever was saying how good it was, and I was like, "What?" It's happened to me before. You mentioned The Wire, Suze. I couldn't do it because it didn't live up to what everyone had said.
But I think Succession did.
100%. Straight away as well.
It just did. Yeah.
Straight away. Is it? Is it in the first episode, or? It's either in the first episode or like the second one, where Roman promises to give that kid $1 million.
It's the first.
And then they give him a watch.
Yeah. Straight away, I was like, this is fucking it was well made. It was like a good meal. Every episode was like a good meal. And I was like, oh, I feel very, very nourished.
Are we awash on the deck of a schooner, Greg? No. Then why the fuck are you wearing deck shoes?
Oh my god! Yeah,
in the office.
And he's got no money, no one's paid him.
He's like stealing food from the fucking office.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's got a corporate job and can't get paid.
So I was gonna go to California Pizza Kitchen. It's really good. Greg, it's not. It's really not. I'm going to take you out.
We know when he goes for that meal and they have to eat it with the napkin over there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're just not enjoying it at all. They're just enjoying spending the money.
Spending the money.
Being in a place that's money.
There's no prices on the wine. Of course not. Greg, you know how much it costs? It's insane. That's how much it costs. Being rich is incredible, Greg. It's like being a superhero, okay? You can do whatever you want. The law can't touch you.
It's so good. It's so good. I feel, though, at the moment, because I was talking to Bilal earlier, and he said, he was like, I'm going to start watching it all again. I'm going to watch the whole thing from start to finish.
I'm going to wait for a bit before I do that.
ASAP. And I can't. I don't feel, at the moment, it's like my heart is broken and I can't start it again because I know where it ends up.
I can't love again.
Yeah, so while I do feel like that, I also have, in a very cold kind of way, have to let myself forget bits of it. So that I can watch it again and be like,
This is my trouble. Sarah is like, oh, can't wait to watch that again in our lifetime. I'm like, I probably won't because I remember it far too vividly. Like, almost every moment of it, I'm like, oh, yeah. And that, like, it won't be in my mind all the time, but I'll watch a scene or a bit and I'll go, oh, yeah. And then that happens. Yeah, and then I'll just remember the whole thing.
I actually envy you that because it's happened before and it's really endearing where. You'll remember something and then laugh like a fucking drain. And you haven't even watched it. You've remembered it. And I'm like, I wish that I could do it. Like, I'm going to prove it to you. Yeah. When my gran slipped over on the ice. You see? I wasn't even there. And like, so remembering...
It's too funny.
But Masood will remember a scene in Succession and then just start laughing like that as if he's watching it for the first time. And I'm like, I wish I could do that. I wish.
It's quite the curse. I guess it's because...
It sure doesn't sound like a curse. Maybe me and you... Masood, me and you should talk to each other like Tom and Greg from now on the podcast.
Greg, did you pick man?
Chris, what have you got for us today? Today, it's the... So there's this gold mine. Oh, there's a gold miner, isn't there, Chris? Is there a gold miner? Yeah, there's this gold miner, and he...
Oh, what's that when Greg is talking to them about Comfrey at the wedding, and he's like...
Comfrey!
And he's like, you know, is she not going to... Is there any substance there? Is there going to... Oh, my God. The man is dying of thirst, and now he's a mineral water critic.
Oh, yeah.
What a fucking... And nice watching Shiv and Tom actually team up together and, like, it's not healthy what they're doing, but there's, like, this is the healthiest they're ever going to be is when they're roasting Greg together.
Yeah, because Shiv fucking hates Greg.
Fuck, oh my God, they all hate Greg so much. It's the disgusting brothers.
Disgusting brothers.
Oh my God.
From shit show at the Fuck Factory to Kendall gazing out over the Hudson, we've done shit Succession. Show at the Fuck Factory.
I will par with this. I do really enjoy every time Kendall has a scene where he's like, saying something that makes absolutely no fucking sense, where he's just like, yeah, okay, let's fucking launch this beast into the fucking mountain. You're like, what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. Yeah. You're just talking bullshit. So great.
Where Roman is leaving to go and have that meeting where he ultimately fires the executive.
Oh, the studio boss.
Yeah. And Kendall just, like, eases in to that speak, and I can't remember exactly what he says, but it's something along the lines of "smash it to pieces" or something. And it's like,
oh yeah, yeah. And it's like
there's no emotion behind it. He literally just says it because it's like it's his business flex muscle.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, it's his automatic. Yeah. It's like it's so close to a cool thing that people would say to like kind of boost someone up, but it's like just slightly off. It's
And it's of like course, someone who, you know. I'll always have my alternate succession because I don't think there's anything wrong. I think the finale was so perfect. But what I wanted for me was for the siblings to be united at the end, even if they were united in a grief. And I knew, deep down, I knew I wasn't going to get that. But I can always have my alternate succession, which is Logan didn't die and the three of them started the 100. And it's this fun, stupid, bitchy, gossipy news website that I occasionally share articles from. And I can always think about that. That they started the 100 and they got on.
Well, Succession will always have the 100. Always have the 100.
Succession, my alternate Succession, read about it in the 100.
In the 100.
My new article for the 100.
So if there is a cross-section of Mystery on the Rocks listeners and Succession superfans, thank you for bearing with us on our Succession purge so that we could get it out of our system and carry on.
We've done it now.
I will state this, though. I can't guarantee that in the future, perhaps one or two lines from the show may slip out.
We're
a Tom impression.
It's never going to leave.
It may relapse.
It's never going to leave us. And me and Masood are now going to talk like Tom and Greg for the rest of the podcast.
So. Chris, do you have anything for
us? Thing is, Masood, I have got a mystery. But I'm afraid it's another murder.
Is it Greg, is it the mystery of why your balls haven't dropped yet?
thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody.
And thank you, the creators of Succession.
Yes, thank you, all of you. If you've enjoyed our Succession chat, you can go to our Patreon and every bonus episode that's Patreon only. We never shut the fuck up about Succession. So patreon.com/mysteryontherocks. And hope you enjoy this week's actual episode. If you're tuning in because you're like, ooh, some people talking about Succession, I'm hungry for Succession content, well... Hello. That's and it. I hope you enjoyed this, and you can now listen to our Unsolved Mysteries and Cocktails podcast, Mystery on the Rocks. There's literally nearly 200 episodes for you to get your snout in, you little fucking hog.
You slime puppies, you.
Slime puppy.
Get involved.
Because you're corrupt and so is the world. And instead of saying bye, shall we all do a Logan fuck off after three?
Yeah.
Okay.
One, two, three. Fuck off!
Fuck off!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.